instant access.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
We're going to open up the show today, Jordan, with something very simple on behalf of everybody in the New Orleans area, maybe even Louisiana. Enough already. Rain, man. I am done with it. Enough.
I don't tweet a lot, and literally, I tweeted about the rain this
enough.
Morning.
Enough. Could barely see driving this morning. Seriously. Oh, I was just trying to grill yesterday, Jordan. Pulled up.
I'm like, I did see the photos. That, by the way.
Gotta go cut the grass. I'm like, literally, there's no rain around us. You press the play button on the weather app. It shows it's heading your way, Jordan.
Yep.
All the red I see is in the lake, but it's going in your direction.
5 minutes later.
Guess what? It's coming in my direction. Put up the pop-up tent literally seconds before the deluge began.
Mm-hmm.
The old pellet grill is going. I had to drape towels over to make sure it held, but I mean, it's not like a rain shower. Have you noticed these things that have been hitting? They're torrential downpours. It may be literally the size of a thumb on a map or weather map. I mean, it was incredible. Leaving this morning, dropping them off, I'm like, okay, it's not raining where I'm at. And as I get closer to home, you literally can't see. It's like 40 mile an hour gusts. I'm like, what
this
is
morning,
going on?
I was walking Sticks and Champ,
yeah,
the dogs.
Yeah.
And not a cloud in the sky.
No.
Not a one.
Yeah.
I get home.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of show prep.
Sure.
As soon as I leave, mm-hmm, it's completely pitch black.
Deluge. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So, I guess be careful out there and, you know, I don't know how much longer this is going to go. It's nuts.
To the forecast, it looks like it's going to be all week.
I
just
tried,
like last
I
week.
So tried to cut the grass, but I have standing water everywhere.
There it is.
Yeah.
Tuesday, I mean Thursday, it looks like the sun might peek out for
you. Might see the sun then.
A minute.
Yeah, interesting. What's up, everybody? It is July 12th, Jordan. July 12th through the 16th is this week. The 19th through the 23rd is next week. The week after that, training camp week. That's right. And to get you ready for training camp, Fletcher Mackel might have made a call or two. I don't know how he got it done, but he did. Sean Payton one-on-one. He tweeted about that. You can see some excerpts on a video. Clearly, he'll have some stuff coming up on the news tonight. We also reached out to him. He will join us at 12:30. Plus, we have some sound bites,
mm-hmm,
from that as well. What Coach had to say. In short, what did he touch on, essentially?
It was basically his wedding.
Yep. Uh-huh.
His new movie that's going to be coming out.
Oh, there it is, baby. Yes.
The pressure of selecting a quarterback this upcoming season.
Oh, I thought the pressure of selecting a cast.
No.
Oh. A quarterback. You were talking football.
A quarterback. And then you fans, you being able to go back into the Superdome.
Yeah. Speaking of you fans, do you think it's made that much of a difference? I do, especially what an incredible day of soccer and weekend of soccer, to be honest with you. We'll touch on that. You'll try to get a hold of Kenny Farrell. His team won on Saturday in the playoffs. They play the playoff game, the Armada, Wednesday. So we're trying to chat with him. But Messi winning Saturday, you can see
finally
the emotion on that. And why I say the importance of fans is because, and you see in a celebration, you had like a smattering of Argentina fans, right? Like a smattering. Obviously, I guess wherever they played in Brazil, you didn't have full capacity stadiums over in Rio de Janeiro. But you saw they were trying to gravitate to it. And then on Sunday, you have Wembley Stadium, where literally, if you saw on social media yesterday and today, there were bodies on the aisles, sitting in the aisles. Like, it was not a safe environment because everyone was packed in hoping that, you know, England would pull it off.
Well, I saw that they
and
were like starting
the
knocking
crowd,
down
yeah
gates trying
yeah
to get in.
No, it's insane. And then you saw, and you wonder if that sort of pressure got to the players, because it depends how you look at it. If you're rooting for Italy, it was one of the greatest penalty kick moments that you saw. I'm just objective watching, and of course I have Italian in me, so it was nice, but man, Was it just me, or did it seem like the pressure absolutely got to the English players on those PKs?
I don't know why either. They were up a penalty.
I don't know. I'm not a soccer player. I've never played it to that level, much less anything other than kicking the ball in the background, you know, the backyard. But it seemed like, what, three or four of them, Jordan, like, would run and stutter and stuff. Like, they overthought it. And I just think when you approach the ball with force and you come in, you put the kind of the keeper on its heels. When you're kind of stuttering, you lose momentum. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It was very odd. To me, like, they looked palpably nervous going into their kicks with the three that didn't get them in. And then, of course, the side story that has happened since then has been, you know, the old good old fans that are racist after those as well. So that's been, but again, just the fan base we're talking about. And then the U.S. played last night. They win 1-0 over Haiti, over in Kansas City's MLS stadium. Beautiful, right? And look, you saw the fans, and I think it sort of helped on that aspect of it. I think, speaking of fans, it absolutely helped the Milwaukee Bucks as they get back into the NBA Finals. Jordan, I think as expected, you kind of knew game three, they were going to come with energy. Mm-hmm. Look, you saw runs in game two. I told you it'd be closer. It was. Game one, everything went right for Phoenix, which was expected. You could understand that. So they play game three yesterday, and if for some reason you have 2 days off, they don't play again until Wednesday. Try to stretch this out, I guess. I don't know. 120-100 is your final there. Jordan, the number one topic going into this game was fouls. I mean, it was. And we'll approach it and address it here as well. Monty Williams spoke about it yesterday, saying, I'm not going to address fouls, but one player had 17, we had 16. So you can see how that could have been an issue. Giannis, 17 free throws. The Suns, 16.
Giannis had, what, I think either 17 or 18 in game two.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was about to text you and Todd, I'm like, every time I'm looking up at the, I'm hearing 1, 2. How many times are they gonna do it? So I just kind of, that just showed me the amount of times that he was getting to the line in game two, and he does the same thing in game three.
So we can touch on that if you like. I think it's one of the reasons, and I'm not saying that's what happened, right? I think in NBA history that I've known, the aggressor, the team that's the aggressor gets the calls, right? That said, I mean, DeAndre Ayton, peace up. I mean,
they never played Booker in the entire fourth quarter.
Foul trouble the entire game. I mean, he had five personal fouls. You know, Cam Johnson also had five. But, I mean, again, you know, 24 fouls called on Phoenix, 18 on Milwaukee. It was the timing of it, though. DeAndre Ayton was a non-factor in that and allowed Giannis to kind of get going there as well. Jordan, another back-to-back 40-point performance. So what, 42 and 41?
Yeah, the first time that's happened in an NBA Finals since Shaquille O'Neal.
Another difference, obviously, than the free throws. And the Suns not being able to have Ayton was Jrue Holiday showing up. 21 points, 5 of 10. That's what I said. I mean, you had to imagine and expect that he's not going to be 1 of 8 from 3, which is what he was after two games. 21 of 28, 7 made shots after two games. Well, he was 8 of 14 last night in 40 minutes. Also, 9 assists for 21 points. That's a big difference, right? I mean, you got to have that backcourt that sort of helps that, and for him particularly. So that was really the difference, though. But that's going to be the series. I mean, when you look at it like that, is Jrue Holiday has to score, right? And if Ayton, which by the way, he had 18 points, but again, it was the timing of it. I mean, it was a non-factor 18 in terms of he sat out most of the game because of foul trouble. So, you know, and look, Booker, 10 points. Guy's capable of so much more. 3 of 14. He made 3 shots. He was 1 of 7.
Well, they took, at the end, they were just like, oh, no, all right, it's over.
I understand that. But Devin Booker, 1 of 7 from downtown. Guy doesn't miss in the first. the reason I'm bringing this up and I'm speaking of it like that is because, again, home court matters. Fans matter. That's why you hear Sean Payton this morning. It absolutely matters. You've heard Charles Barkley name on TNT say it all the time, and a lot of the NBA analysts on ESPN, that home crowds, home court, people are more relaxed. The ancillary players, your star characters are going to, you know, do that. But, you know, and look, officials are human. When I'm watching that game yesterday, Suns made a run. I think they got it to within four, I think, right? And then all of a sudden it was like a 12-2 run or something. And you saw it. I mean, I think officials, like players, can get caught up in that emotion. It's a steal, it's a dunk. Here's a three, it's a steal, it's a dunk.
I mean, it definitely.
Then it's a whistle. And all of a sudden, you know, some players get away with other things than others. But again, that is part of the home court, right? And look, let's be honest. I didn't want to sweep.
No one wants a sweep.
I don't like the fact I got to wait two more days for this. I got spoiled. I love big game soccer Saturday, games all day, Sunday, enjoying my food. Then I got that game didn't go over so well. So. But I still enjoyed it. What I like about this right now is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have 3 weeks until training camp. And once training camp week starts, we actually have legit kind of stories, real storylines. This isn't what it's been in the past when it comes to the Saints. You know, Jordan, we're like, all right, yay. We all get excited for day one of training camp. And then it's, all right, hurry up September, you know, because nothing matters. I mean, like,
what are the rookies are going to do?
Well, not even that. Right. I mean, yeah, right. You don't want no one injured. Like, it's boring. I don't think so this year. I legitimately think, like, I will watch intently. I'm not saying I didn't watch the preseason games in the past, but you might have done it while you're on your phone or, you know, the game is on and
you're having a few beers.
Yeah, I mean, I legitimately probably will have a notepad, you know, during these preseason games. Aside from the fact there's three this year rather than four. Obviously the quarterback battles. A bunch of different battles here as well. Maddie Hudak, who's going to join us tomorrow, she wrote for Saints Wire, and they're breaking down the schedule, breaking down the games. They start, obviously, with Green Bay doing that. Tomorrow we'll do another position group, Jordan. But I think legitimately there are storylines. There's a lot of different things to sort of look at, and we'll see, you know?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different stories that I read this morning that was released. ESPN ranking the NFL's top 100 quarterbacks, and they also showed
– centers, huh?
And centers. Yeah. And then they CBS put out the NFL's top 10 new faces in new places.
Mm.
Saints, a few Saints players are in that story, so – later on the show,
new places.
Yes, we're going to be discussing.
Okay, perfect. I like, because this is list season.
And there's even more. It's
sure
that we'll get into.
Look, that's where we are. Yeah, exactly. Lists upon list upon list. I'll mention it. We'll talk about it at 1:15 with Raphael.
The fight.
Well, there was a lot of storylines in that fight on Saturday. Huh? I mean, obviously, the gruesome break of McGregor's left lower leg, sure. the post-match wording, and I mean, neither guy likes each other. Huh?
The wife of Poirier also.
Oh, she came out?
Did you see her?
I did not, but she responded when he goes, "Your wife is in me DMs."
No, she was in the octagon.
She was.
And there was a
one-finger
salute.
A one-finger salute to him. I'm sitting here, the dude is laying on the ground. Oh, he's sitting up, right? I mean, his ankle is shattered. His leg is broken. I can't imagine that feels good. And I don't know. He's referring to the guy's doctor stoppage. Yeah, dude, you couldn't continue.
And then Joe Rogan just sits next to him.
Yeah, he just sits right next to him.
Like he's at recess or something.
But, again, you know, you're not worried about the ankle, leg, fracture, whatever. You know, another lot. Your wife is in me DMs. Wow. Really? That's where he went there. I felt like I didn't feel like it was fair that a lot of people were giving Poirier stuff when he then, during his post-match, may use some language. And got, you know, into it as well.
A little testy.
Yeah. I would too. So the wife did did respond, because I saw like seconds after he said that, the amount of memes, you know, the shocked ones, the GIFs, all of that, you know, where they're like Poirier's wife right now when he said that. And the fact that people are asking, well, has she gotten, stop it. That's stop. Man. And I was probably also as surprised in the amount of NFL Twitter and people that cover NFL's reaction to Greg Hardy being knocked down. I mean, Shane Slater made no bones about it. Couldn't happen to a better guy. I mean, wow. Right? There's a lot of people that didn't care for him. And I understand. I mean, he beats women. So I do. Oh,
yeah.
But it's just very interesting. I was just like, scrolling Shane Slater. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. Wow, okay. We're off and running. 800-998-1003. When we come back, we'll play a bite or two from Fletcher Mackel's interview with Sean Payton. We're going to speak with Fletcher at 12:30. Jordan at 12:15 on July 12th. Do the Pelicans have a head coach yet?
No.
But
another team down south does.
That's fine. That's fine, though. Again, is that the guy you wanted? Do you even know his name? Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I know where he came from.
Yeah, he was a Dallas assistant, but is that the guy you wanted?
No.
Exactly. So we're good. Two teams left, though. We'll talk about that when we come back to Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Took his babies. It took him minutes. Took her nowhere. Heaven knows he'd have taken enough of him. All night. She wants a young American.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Greg LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone!
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio Nola is the way to follow over on Twitter and get involved in that conversation coming up at 12:45 in Top Stories. Jordan, we will absolutely touch on. It was an exhibition game for Team USA.
Unbelievable.
What? Are you really bothered by the loss to Nigeria?
You know what? They deserve to lose.
Wow. It's the first game. The long season, right? It's the Olympic tune-up.
Yeah, tune-up. Just have the best players in the world.
Not really. I mean, some good ones.
Better than the other ones that are.
Would you say it's the best team the U.S. could?
Well, no, but I mean,
it's still a pretty good team.
Their B, C, D, E, F, G teams should be better than anything else.
The G team, huh? It's a bit disrespectful to the world there, Jordan.
Well, that's how good the NBA is.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I don't even know the guy's name, and I apologize. He might be in the NBA. I don't know. Number 55, the guy that blocked Kevin Durant when he's dunking right baseline with his left hand. Don't know who he is. I probably should. Maybe we should call him. Right? Know what I'm saying? I think the Pelicans should give him a call. Block Kevin Durant with one arm that high like that. Why not?
There's got to be players out there
Do you understand now why I say that exactly? That's exactly what I'm saying. We have like 450 picks in the second round. Make sure they count. Make sure they matter. Scout. Jordan, would you like to go help scout? Find out who 55 is. I should know.
If you send me around the country in five-star hotels.
Wait a minute.
Ask me to go watch people go play basketball.
See, if I start doing that, you know, company tab, five-star hotel, something tells me, Jordan, you're not going to be spending much time, you know, I don't think you will.
I promise.
You sure? Guess what's happening again outside the studio right now?
Torrential
downpour again.
Time now for The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
No, the lead isn't more rain.
Oh, it was.
I didn't expect this to be the lead today, did you? Did you? You think it's the lead? I think it's the lead.
It's probably
Sean Payton's chilling. How would you say the lead is? Sean Payton relaxing. Sean Payton.
Sean Payton speaks.
Sean Payton's just, waiting, enjoying himself. Little one-on-one interview with Fletcher Mackel. We're going to speak with Fletcher coming to the bottom of the hour. But Coach Payton yesterday, obviously, over at his wedding, right? Went well, Jordan. I mean, it looked like it went well, right?
Looked bright and sunny.
Yeah, bright and sunny. Coach had this to tell Fletcher.
Yeah, listen, it was beautiful. We had, great weather there, a lot of close friends and family. And it was great to, enjoy that time with them. The summer months are kind of our off season, so it's fits into the schedule well. And it was good seeing, so many people that were able to make the trip. Sometimes when you're out of the country, it's a little bit more difficult.
Jordan, are you going to have an out-of-the-country?
Probably not.
Ceremony?
Unless I stumble upon a couple mil.
A couple mil?
I know it doesn't taste. You don't need it, but I mean, I like.
I don't think you need
some security.
Right. Just remember, the clock is ticking. Do we have a sticky, by the way? Did you know that this is a sticky note?
I'm not keeping track of.
I am. It's you.
2028 draft pick.
It's you versus the 2028 Milwaukee Bucks first round draft pick.
Find a website.
You have to be married at, on, or before the NBA draft of that 2028 season. That's if the Pels still keep it. But yes, I'm in case you're missing, you have no idea what I'm talking about. That was my way of making fun of the fact that, it's fantastic to have all of these draft picks. I'm sure it'll matter at some point. Jordan, who's 23, will be 30. Could have three kids and married by now, right? I mean, seriously.
Three kids.
Well, what? I mean, one every 2 years? Sure, you can do that.
That didn't work.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she would. Yeah, absolutely. Not you.
No, I know. Not me.
No.
She would be putting in work.
No. Your work would be minimal. Believe me. All right, but there is work to be done. Starting in 3 weeks. Got to find a quarterback. Now, Jordan, we've touched on this a couple of weeks already. Going into it as much as you can. We've listen to him in the virtual mini camp and how each quarterback kind of came across and sounded. We've also, Jordan, I thought, have kind of exploded as, what do we see in these videos? And look, and Fletcher said it too, and we'll hear from him in 6 minutes. He's like, look, Taysom's more of a private guy. He doesn't, go out there and blast stuff on social media. He doesn't touch different things that way and is posting stuff. So I get all of that. We've seen Traquan Smith work with, Jameis, and we've seen Jameis Winston, Jordan, shoot a football through a basketball goal.
Oh, yeah, he was going through
some
the,
boxing. The do pads, all those things. Yeah, which the, I think, hey, look, he's trying to do as many different things as possible to try to get his body ready and for whatever reason. And I am on there seems to
don't
be,
use that phrase for whatever reason.
Oh, that's true. That's not a good phrase
that's,
in New Orleans.
We will not.
Not a good phrase in New Orleans. Exactly. You're right, though. You're right. Tell me the reason. There is a reason. Don't know for whatever reason. There is a reason, right, Jordan? For whatever reason, he wouldn't play hard. No? Well, you either didn't care or he didn't try. There's a reason. You're right. You should never use that phrase. When you look at the quarterback battles, though, do you feel that when we walk into practice or when we get a chance to see the opening of training camp, that there's kind of a building of two camps of people that cover the team and fans when it comes to this? Two camps, huh, Jordan? There's a camp of, guys, it's Jameis Winston's job to lose. And then I think there's another camp of, right. There's absolutely, I think, a camp of some people that absolutely believe it is a true battle and that we're somehow shortchanging or underestimating the ability that Taysom Hill may have. Right? I would be in camp A. I think Jameis Winston would have to perform horribly at practice and in preseason games. I think it's his to lose. Why? Well, he's started for 5 years. For starters. I think that gives you an edge. That doesn't mean that if you're not a starter that you can't do it. Right? Jordan, I mean, your guy, your number one hero over there in Los Angeles.
Justin
Herbert, huh? Greatest quarterback of all time.
He's in the NFL top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah. Pat who? It's Justin.
Exactly.
Justin
By
H.
the way, the Bengals are going to regret.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mike Tannenbaum, you will regret going with Joe Burrow, not Justin Herbert. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So
don't disrespect them.
My point is that, yes, you can if you've never done it. But then I would argue coming into the draft, right? I mean, there was a reason Justin Herbert was selected that high, right? He was talked about. It's him and Burrow when he was at Oregon. That was never Taysom Hill. But I think there's two camps, and we'll see it obviously play out. Sean was asked about it by Fletcher. Is there any pressure in trying to pick your quarterback?
You as a coach that appreciates it and you think about it and there is you feel that responsibility to everyone else on the team. We feel like we've got a real good football team. Both of those guys have done a great job this offseason in what was a kind of a little unique offseason, I would say. I think there's that challenge of winning each year and especially with our current roster. You know, it's important you get good, solid play at that position. We know that. Fortunately, we've been able to do that in the prior 2 years when Drew's been hurt. But, you know, replacing someone like Drew and the career he's had, it really falls on all of us. You know, it falls on the coaches. It falls on the other players.
How much of that you think is sort of what would he say there to be true? I'm saying to be true, meaning like he's lying, but I think it's accurate. Jordan, we're going to focus on what that player sort of individually sort of does, but it's something that we've touched on with the other quarterbacks that didn't Drew, right, when we watch practice. Like, you got to go out there and perform, man. Like, for you to be able to evaluate and for that player to, I guess, thrive, you have to perform. And play. Now, I don't think that you have players that run harder or faster for each guy. I think they both are respected. I think they're both are liked. But it's just, again, I one of the things that I'm going to be interested in, I'll ask Fletcher is coming up in a few minutes, is how do you truly evaluate? Because they're so different. This isn't Jordan Denver, right? Where you have two quarterbacks battling and maybe one quarterback can do something else a little differently, but it's essentially the same system. I think the thing that makes Taysom unique is certain plays and running an offense that's probably different than what Jameis would do. So I think they'll be based off of the judgment will be what, your basic set of plays, performance, ancillary things, not really ancillary, but, you know, getting in and out of the huddle, making the right calls, things of that nature. Just command at quarterback.
Just as long as you don't look like Cam Newton in, I don't know if you saw those videos of him just absolutely skying the ball over his wide open receivers.
When?
Like a few days ago.
Oh, really?
Or maybe like a few weeks ago.
As opposed to Aaron Rodgers on the golf course last weekend. Did you see that?
Well, he did chip in an amazing shot.
Oh, no. I'm talking about how he just grabbed the football.
Oh, and threw it like over 100 yards?
Yeah, like to a boat, to a dude on his boat in the middle of a lake and pegged him right in the chest.
They dropped the ball, too.
What? I don't think he expect. I mean, I don't know what Green Bay's doing. You imagine that? I mean, just kind of chuckle, take a step or two. Whee!
Screaming A also has some words on Aaron Rodgers' situation.
Does he? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll play that when we come back. After Fletcher Mackel. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Do you have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Sometimes watching a flawless serve can make you realize,
wait a minute, I think I might love tennis.
So you get 2% cash back on rackets, 2% cash back on shoes, 2% cash back on gear, tennis balls, lessons. And before you know it, you've got a decent backhand.
I do have a decent backhand.
Get unlimited 2% cash back on purchases and be ready for your next passion with the new Wells Fargo Active Cash Visa Card. Terms apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. All rights reserved.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase between July 1st and July 23rd, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and have the chance to start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
The internet can be a great resource for learning and fun. From researching to gaming to communicating, being online provides many possibilities. But cyberspace can also be dangerous. Oversharing and bullying can lead to embarrassing situations and dangerous predicaments. Protect yourself from those wishing to do harm. Learn more tips at agjefflandry.com/cybersafety. Let's stay safe online.
The opinions, findings, and conclusions or recommendations expressed here are those of the authors and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Department of Justice or LCLE, Office of Justice Program, Subgrant 2018.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
You can follow him over on Twitter at Fletcher WDSU, WDSU.com, and of course, during all of their sportscasts and newscasts. Fletcher, good afternoon to you, sir. Have you gone into weather coverage just yet? I know you normally do that for a storm in the Gulf, but I don't know, man. It's kind of been raining and flooding pretty much every day.
You know, here's what I said about that, Gus, because you are correct. I think not only at WDSU, but I think a lot of the local TV stations start deploying their sports people when we are in severe weather or, you know, the city goes into lockdown and stuff like that. It becomes a serious weather situation. I would take, though, and look, this is aggravating every day, that you try to play golf, you're in a recreational softball league. I just went jogging, and I'm thinking, am I going to beat the rain?
Yep.
But that being said, if it rains a little bit every day for the rest of the summer and we get no tropical storms, hurricanes, or weather that comes our way after seven storms last year were headed at us and five hit Louisiana, after all that last year, if it rains every day, I'm cool with it.
That's a very good point, because if rain is coming in, then that means there is some sort of front door system that is not able to allow a storm to come its way. So look at that, Fletcher with a little positive spin on what's going on with this weather right now. But You know, it's interesting because training camp, man, is 3 weeks from this week. It's nuts. It's incredible. Obviously, we saw your video with head coach Sean Payton. That's some interesting questions, especially about pressure on the quarterback. But I want to ask you this. How much pressure, we'd love to say that word, do you think is on Sean Payton this season?
Let me say this. That's got to be a layered answer.
Right.
Like, I don't think Sean Payton's on the hot seat this
year. Correct.
So, I mean, I obviously think his status, he's the second longest tenured coach right now in the NFL behind Bill Belichick. He is one of the most recognizable and successful coaches in the NFL. He's a true offensive innovator in the history of the game. So I think there's personal pressure to say, hey, we are replacing the greatest player in franchise history, a guy that he had a connection to, a relationship with, that these two individuals made each other better and enhanced each other's careers. So from a personal aspect of, hey, I have to identify the successor, develop the successor, and give the successor a chance to be successful, I think there is a pressure from that standpoint. Is it Jameis? Is it Taysom? Are you going to be micromanaging and scrutinizing every throw, every read, every rep in practice? Right. I think there's a little bit of pressure. From a win, you know, if the Saints were terrible this year and those quarterbacks weren't good and they went 6-11 or 5-12, Sean Payton is not getting fired or moving to the hot seat. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it tarnishes his reputation overall in the league as a great offensive coach. So I think that's, to answer your question in a layered way, I think there's individual pressure to find and develop a successful quarterback. I don't think there's any other pressure, though, on him this year.
Right, exactly. And you mentioned Bill Belichick here as well. He didn't make the playoffs last year. It takes some time. Now, granted, it was a different thing with season. And, my goodness, Fletcher, that injuries, a lot of people opted out that didn't play on that Patriots team. So we'll see how they rebound here as well. I'm with you. I think we've talked to you about this before as well. I think there's a lot of people that believe this is a playoff team, that there's still a lot of talent. I asked Larry Holder of The Athletic last week when he ranked his, you know, 20 players on the roster, and he did 1 through 10. If when he went through the rankings, did he feel that this roster was as talented as seasons past? And I ask that, Fletcher, because one of the things that people will use when they say that they feel the Saints can win without Drew Brees is Teddy Bridgewater's record and also Taysom Hill's record. I agree, but then I will also add, those teams aren't here. They've had to let go because of the cap or whatever reason, a lot of those players. So I'm kind of wondering if that team or this team is as good as the ones that won and only lost once without Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that you make. Look, Bridgewater went 5-0, Taysom went 3-1. You know, they went 8-1 without Drew Brees over the last 2 years. I think if they don't suffer any serious injuries or setbacks, they are as good as they were when Brees was out, and they could be a really good team, definitely a playoff team. Where the salary cap situation and having to pay some of the young stars they've developed, Thomas, Kamara, now Ramchek, it has eroded their depth. You know, look, you had to cut some really good players. Emmanuel Sanders is a good player. Jarris Bird is a good player. Nick Easton is a good offensive lineman as a backup. So, to me, I think on the surface, you look at this team and you say, whoa, Kamara, Thomas, Jordan, DeMario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore, you know, the same offensive lineman, Ramchek and Armstead. But once, you know, they say still water runs deep, under the surface is where they could have issues if they deal with any type of serious injury to one of their key players, or they have a fall off of one of their key players from a production standpoint, because I think that their depth has been eroded because of the salary cap situation. So on the surface, still the same good team. Like if you look at their starting 22, underneath the surface, I think is where their depth is where you have a concern.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Fletcher Mackel, Channel 6 WDSU Sports. Anything else that you kind of picked up when you were speaking with Coach?
Not really. I think that everybody's excited to get back to some sense of normalcy. You know, normal training camp, normal preseason, or far more normal than it was last year. But I think that there's a sense of excitement to get out there and finally stop talking about it. Because here's the thing. I tell everybody this. And with all due respect to a lot of people in our industry, if anybody tries to tell you right now, Jameis is the starter or Taysom's the starter, they just don't know. I mean, I really truly believe this is a wide open competition that Sean Payton is going in with, you know, what is the line from Friday Night Lights, like clear eyes and a full heart or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think he's going in there waiting to see how it unfolds. And I think that, you know, the sense that I get is that, you know, he obviously was married last month. He's done some great charity work. He's having some fun right now playing in a celebrity golf tournament. But every question is replacing Drew Brees, Taysom and Jameis, replacing in Drew Brees. Who's it going to be? I think it's okay. Like you just said, we're less than 3 weeks away. Let's go. Let's get this on and, right. and let's stop talking about it.
Final thing on the Saints, and I want to get a take on you with the NBA Finals / Pels here. I think one of the most interesting things with this quarterback competition is timing in terms of when you think that sort of happens. One less preseason game. Fletcher, I've tried to kind of look at it as how are you going to go about it? Does each guy get the first quarter in two games and then game three decides it? Do you want to decide it before game three so the new quarterback has a half in game three to get ready for the season opener? I think that's going to be interesting to me. Obviously, it'll make the practices important, but I think game action is going to determine this, don't you?
I think without question. Obviously, practice is a significant part of it, how they operate, what they see on the day-to-day. I certainly think, I would say that it's a 60-40, maybe 70-30. I think practice is more important than people give it credit for, especially in training camp where they can see these guys rep it over and over again. But certainly execution in the game is very important as well. So I would say somewhere between, if you wanted to put the difference of splitting it, somewhere between 60-40, 70-30, games, preseason games being the 60-70% and the practices being the 30-40%. But I think you're right. Look, I remember 2 years ago, Teddy Bridgewater struggled against LA, the Chargers in a preseason game. Taysom came in, and that's when he really opened eyes and was right. So dynamic in that preseason game. And that's the kind of stuff that we're going to be looking for. Who starts? How do they operate? What they do? So I think that these preseason games are going to be almost like, and I hate to say this, mini Super Bowls for these two guys because of the importance of every snap in executing and in delivering, knowing that they are battling for a starting job.
I'm not Nostradamus. I like to be Goostradamus, though. I know for a fact this is going to happen. 3 weeks from today or 3 weeks from now, we'll have that first practice. Fletcher, everybody in attendance covering practice will have their phone in their hands when the first team drill takes place. Who do you think we are tweeting? So-and-so takes the first snap at quarterback. I think it's Taysom because he started last year. What do you think?
I think it's Taysom, too. Now, that doesn't mean anything. I think they are going to split the rep. But I do think you're right. And we've always done that. A lot of the beat writers and everybody mm-hmm. who's running with the ones, what's happening.
First tweet.
But without question, without question, when they line up and you say, who's with the ones at quarterback, I think, look, Taysom was the starter last year. He still has more history in the system. So I think Taysom will be the guy under center with the ones to start practice. But I think they're going to do a really, you know, good job of making sure they get equal reps to see how this, you know, unfold.
Final thing for you, sir. The Magic looked like they got their head coach, the assistant from Dallas, and Jamal Mosley. Two teams remain, the Wizards and the Pelicans. I got to imagine, look, we had you on last time to talk about Willie Green, and Ryan Ramczyk got interrupted that. But since then, look, he's still there. Suns have a 2-1 lead in the finals. My guess is after the finals, we'll find out who the Pels head coach is and probably the Wizards head coach. Do you still think it's either Willie Green or Charles Lee?
If it's not, it would be the biggest shocker in recent NBA news, because if it was going to be Fred Vinson, who is obviously a quality shooting coach who's been on the staff for a decade, going all the way back to Monty Williams, they could hire him right now. Right. If it was going to be Teresa Weatherspoon being promoted, it could be her right now. If it was going to be somebody, you know, if it was going to be Wes Unseld Jr., who may get the D.C. job with the Wizards, it could be him right now. So if it's not Charles Lee with the Bucks or Willie Green with the Suns, I would say then Gail Benson has to call some people into her office and say, what are we doing here? Because this this is kind of insane at this point. So I think there's no doubt. Willie Green is the front runner, I have been told. And look, the fact that Washington hasn't hired a team makes you, hasn't hired a coach, makes you wonder if that team is interested in him as well. But I think the Pelicans know at this point. They've got two guys they like. I think Willie Green is the clear-cut favorite because of the fact that he was a player in this league, the fact that he's the associate head coach, so he's the top guy on Monty's staff. But I think they also really like Charles Lee, and Charles Lee's a guy that, you know, a lot of people rave about. So I think it's definitely one of those two guys. But if I had to bet, I would say Willie Green.
At Fletcher WDSU, thank you for going around the horn here and touching on a handful of topics, man. Look forward to getting out there and seeing practice with you someday.
I agree. It'll be nice to see everybody in person again.
I know, for sure. Fletcher Mackel, Channel 6-4. Thank you, sir. Stay dry.
Thank you.
Quick break. We come back. Top stories, Jordan. There's a lot of top stories here as well, so sorry about that. What is that?
That's a lot.
Yeah. Worst thing you'll continue is next.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun Banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right. Let's do it. Lists, news, the works.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
All right, sir, what we got tonight?
Let's start off with the home run derby and how many home runs Shohei Ohtani hits tonight. I put that out as one of the questions of the day. How many runs does Shohei Ohtani hit tonight in the home run derby? Joel over on Twitter said probably like 100 or something. And then Michael de Blasio over on Twitter says probably 24. And there was another storyline coming out of Colorado over the weekend with four people being arrested, had a bunch of, like, over thousands of rounds of ammunition and long-range guns along with bulletproof vests. So very scary situation happening over the weekend. Thank God.
An employee at the hotel,
the maid saw the weapons and
said this is probably, and again, the photo that they're showing of the hotel, it's literally two blocks from tomorrow's All-Star game and tonight's home run derby. Now the FBI did come out and say that there's no reason to believe there's any connection to that.
Yeah.
You go ahead and believe that if you
like. I call
BS. That's called, we're trying not to create a panic, but I don't know why else there would be four men with four, you know, assault rifles, long-range guns, as you said, thousands of rounds of ammunition and bulletproof vests. Oh, I don't know, two blocks from the All-Star game.
And apparently it was, I think he posted on his Facebook page a few days back, says, I'm going out with a, I'm going out big or something.
Yeah,
something of that nature.
Apparently the report is his wife left him or something of that. It's some sort of issue like that. And all I know is, I don't know about you, but massive kudos to the hotel employee.
Oh, yeah.
Massive. Because there's a lot of times where you wouldn't care. But again, I don't know if that's your spidey sense or every now and then, you know, you'll get that knot in your stomach. I don't know about you, but if I walked into a room and saw that, I would sort of feel the same way, too. And I would rather somebody rule that out than not and not say anything. That's unbelievably scary. It's unbelievably scary. I know we all deal with certain things. We're going to have fun. And, you know, we criticize players for missing threes and we counting at free throw lines and all that. That's a whole different level, man. I mean, that.
Yeah, I don't like the first thing that runs through my mind is like there's going to be literally kids going to their first like MLB event,
just regardless,
like
man,
just families, like a dad and a son's first like time going to an event.
Along
that's just
those
like
lines
the
that you're telling
part.
Me, right? So we've been passing the dome, and Carver has yet to be to a Saints game. Obviously, it was two the last time they had, and all that. So, as of late, I dropped him off at my parents in the West Bank. He's been like, what's in that stadium? You know, what is that? The stadium? Like, who plays there? And I mean, I kind of get the sense of feel they may want to be going here soon. And I just, man, I've said this before. It's always been remarkable to me how we can go inside of a building like that. 70,000 of us, right? You've heard me say this before. Doesn't matter your walk of life, your race, your religion, your bank accounts, how many commas or zeros you got, nothing, right? During those 3 hours, I mean, we're high-fiving down the ramp, in the escalator, in the lines. We get nachos. We will, hey, man, how's it going? I mean, like, you don't know anything about that person other than, for the most part, you think they're there to root for your Saints, right? And you're good with that. It's incredible how that works. Yet, you know, for some reason, when we get out of that building, I don't know, man. I see that, and it's just nuts to me, man. Life is so precious that I don't know. We've lost track of it, man. We really honestly do. And I mean this because I was kind of – it's funny to an extent, you know, the Suns in four, that was that one incident. But my goodness, it was like four or five fights in the first two rounds of the NBA playoffs. The fans in the stands, you see the fights.
There's just people
soccer,
trying to copy
fights,
and try to, you know,
and all of that. I just – everyone's sort, I mean, to the point where literally I've said this on the show before, maybe we need to be quarantined. You know, maybe everyone should stay home. I mean, seriously, conduct yourself appropriately, man. I just, A, it's a game, and B, I think we need to give a bleep about life again as a greater whole. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just, why would I can't process that in my head. Now, you know, the FBI can tell me all they want that it's not for that. Regardless, why would I go buy thousands of rounds, go stock up with a couple of dudes and get, like, what am I trying to do there? Like, what goes through your mind that, hey, this makes sense? Because I can't fathom that at all. So, anyway, thank you to the maid for
reporting the
action.
Incident.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would have been scared to even, you know, do anything about it.
I tell you what, this, you know, and you're hoping that it's not more, you know, it's just that incident. But
oh,
yeah. I'm sure,
they don't know if
I'm sure,
it's a larger group.
I'm sure there's a lot of police there tonight and tomorrow for the All-Star game. What else we got in top stories?
Yeah, let's move to the hardwood. Viewership for game two of the NBA Finals on ABC is up 41% from last year's finals. So everyone that's saying, screaming A, that's saying that, you know, Milwaukee's a boring city or no one wants to see small markets in the NBA final. That is completely thrown out the window.
I'm confused.
There goes LeBron walking off the floor with 5:40 to go.
Wow, I can't believe I saved that. I did.
I'm glad you did save that.
Where's he going? Beating the traffic, I guess, huh?
Beating the traffic. He's leaving.
But I thought no one cares if LeBron's not playing. By the way, Travis went, right? He was so excited to show me that he was going. He sent me a picture Thursday.
I thought he came out the 16th.
Space Jam 2. Oh, it's not out yet?
I don't think so.
I thought it was out.
No, I think it comes out the 16th.
Oh, well, maybe that's why I hadn't heard from him. So he sent me a photo of tickets purchased a whole week and a half out?
Yeah, release date, July 16th.
He's that excited, huh?
He is that excited.
A week out. That's a shame. He's going to tell us something, some sort of historical document.
I'm going to have to watch it because...
That's right.
You
told me. That's right. You told me you were dreading.
I'm kind of sick to my stomach that I have to It's a 2-hour film.
2 hours. Well, I guess the first hour and a half is him trying to go find a team to compete. Right. What? All right. Next. What we got?
The Orlando Magic talking about the head coach have found their next head coach from Dallas. No. He was a Mavericks assistant, and his name is Jamal Mosley.
Yeah. Again, I understand the count has continued, you know, all these different teams that have coaches. But of all the coaches, Jordan, I keep saying this, are any of those guys, other than Chauncey, where I know some Pels fans liked him because they knew his name, stuff like that, maybe wanted him. I'm sure as a Pels fan or two, yeah, give me Jason Kidd and all that. But I'm with Fletcher, who just said it again. He seems to think in what he's been told is the front runner. I think Willie Green just makes sense. Do you? I just think he makes sense. You have two good assistants already on staff that have a good report with this team. Go bring in. You know what? I saw this. I forgot who tweeted it. The Nigeria head coach. My goodness. Mike Brown. Former coach of the Cavs, right? Mike Brown? He's coaching Nigeria. And they beat the U.S. over the weekend. Like, go get a guy like that to be your associate head coach. You know? Be next to Willie, who's been a head coach.
But you stole my next topic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
What'd I do?
Team USA you know, stunned.
Stunned.
Against Nigeria over the weekend. Greg Popovich has a few words to say on the situation.
He does? Let's see. Let's see what Pop had to say.
The Nigerian team played very physically. That's a talented group of players. That's not a bunch of people off the street playing basketball. You need to understand that every year teams are better and better, and every year one or two or three more NBA players are on their teams. They're a quality team. Mike's done a great job with them, and they're as athletic as anybody and very physical, and they've been practicing for 3 weeks. But I don't think anyone should act, nor will we act, like this is the end of the world. It's about everybody else deserves a lot of credit, and we have to play our ass off.
Well, Greg, tell me, why can't the Pelicans get any of these players, Greg?
Wow.
Saying they just get better and better.
Wow.
Why are there some teams that
suck
in the NBA?
By the way, number 55, Precious Achiuwa is his name. A-C-H-I-U-W-A, Achiuwa? Achiuwa? His name is Precious. That's his first name.
Precious.
Well, when you block Kevin Durant like you did, he's 6'8", 225. Did go in the NBA draft. 20th pick. Current team of your Miami Heat.
Awesome.
He's behind Bam. How about you give him a call? What do you think?
Every squirrel finds his nut.
I'm just saying. He had 3 points, one block, but that one block was incredible in that, wasn't it?
If he starts doing it consistently, I guess it'd be very impressive.
You know, Nigeria was 20 of 42 from three. If you don't think the three-point game has equalized the sport, they shot 42 threes, knocked down 20. Team USA was 10 of 24. Jordan, what have we learned in the NBA? You better have shooters. Yeah, exactly. How about we call some guys from Nigeria. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, but who wants that life? There's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. My Computer Career is training people to meet it. Get skilled. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Through July, grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
Yeah, sure, the players bring some skill to the game, but if I don't put them in my lineup, who cares? Not me. I'm Eric Rubino, fantasy baseball GM and league runner-up 2 of the last 9 years. I use the Progressive Name Your Price tool with options based on my budget. And for a guy that's used to being in control, it fits. Like this runner-up t-shirt. Champ gets a trophy, but you can't wear a trophy. Boom.
Get options based on your budget with Progressive, even if you're not a legend in your own mind. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz. He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number two, Kenny Farrell. See what happens when you win a game and you go into the playoffs? Apparently, you got some TV requests in the 2 o'clock hour. Fox 8, WGNO. So he's going to somehow try to find a way to fit us in at the bottom of this hour. Should be thankful, Jordan.
We always have time for Kenny.
Rafael Esparza, next segment. We'll talk about, is this the end for Conor McGregor? That seems to be everybody's sort of thing. Huh? You watched it, huh?
No, I didn't.
No?
It wasn't like
my takeaway is that Conor McGregor, the best of his career, is over. It's over. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that. And the reason I feel that way is because, again, you sustained a leg injury. It wasn't a knockout. You didn't get punched in the head. You didn't get punched in the jaw. What happens is that he's been choked out before. Obviously, he had the calf kicks in the first fight, in the second fight, rather, against Poirier. And tonight, he broke his leg. He broke his leg, okay? And to come back from that injury, Dominique was educating me, about 6 months at least. I'm just looking at him from that perspective, and I'm saying to myself, it's going to be very, very difficult for him to come back from that. I believe that the best of Conor McGregor is gone. We have seen it. He had a good 30 to 45 seconds. From that point forward, Poirier took over. You understand, was on top of him, was throwing some haymakers at him, you know, and was on top of him. I just don't see how Conor, with this injury, is going to come back and be at the elite level we once saw him at years ago, because this is just another reason for him to be inactive.
No. I don't know. I'll say this. The guy draws. He draws.
I get my butt kicked to make a couple million any day.
I don't think the 45th president, Baker Mayfield, you know, Mel Gibson, you know, among others, would show up to watch that. I'm not saying that you wouldn't put on a good performance. I'm not saying.
Just saying, if I knew I was going to lose but still make a couple million dollars.
I don't think he thought he was going to lose, that's for sure.
No, not that fight. Just saying, like, from here on out.
I would play it. I don't know if it's clean, Connor.
It's probably not clean.
He thanked his supporters, saying that surgery went well, Jordan. I don't know. 800-998-1003 if you think that's a storyline for you. We'll touch base with you here as well. ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to follow us over on Twitter. A couple of questions of the day, Jordan, for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, what sport has the better overtime, hockey, soccer, or is there another sport leading the way right now at 50%? Hockey has the better overtime. And then we just talked about it to close last hour. The home run derby is tonight. How many does Shohei Ohtani hit tonight in the home run derby?
Okay. I want to ask you this because it happened over the weekend, and we talked a little bit about it before the show, and I was kind of surprised by your reaction. As you mentioned, one of our other questions of the day is,
what sport has the better overtime? Hockey or soccer or other?
Right. So penalty kicks is how it decided, or it was decided, right? You, for some reason, do not care for it, or didn't care for it, or in this, what's the percentage right now?
It's 50%.
For hockey?
For hockey.
Okay. You like that because at any minute, it could end.
It could end,
right?
Score goal.
Now,
and you're actually playing the game.
Didn't they used to have penalties? Penalty shots?
Penalty shootout?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know what... I forget...
Right?
What happened.
I know I'm not losing my mind here. I remember, like, soccer, they used to play... Or was it just like in the Olympics or something like that, like an international competition? But not the NHL. The NHL, you could have, what, 7 overtimes? Right? You keep going till someone scores? I'm trying to think. I know I've seen penalty shootouts before in hockey, right? At least I think so. Now, I don't know. I enjoy it. Now, you're giving me a reason as to why you think, because there's a lot of people.
In regular season, after 5 minutes of overtime in the NHL regular season, they employ a shootout.
Okay. In the regular season, because you have other games that you don't want to. Okay. But in the playoffs, you keep going.
Yeah.
Which, again, is incredible because literally that it can happen at any second, right? And the more overtimes, I do agree that's exciting, which is why I think it's winning. In soccer, you have, two 15-minute periods or something of that nature, right? And then we go to the PKs. Why are you so against? I like it. I think it adds something to it, and it's exciting. I mean, it is hard. And it apparently is just as difficult to get one in. You know, you would think the advantage is on the person kicking it, as we saw yesterday and we've seen at times, though. The person kicking the ball and shooting, trying to do the PK, it can affect them. I think it's entertaining to me. I think it's one of those I'm literally leaning forward on the edge of my couch. Every single step, you're waiting. Here's the kick. Oh, I'm like, to me, that's exciting. Why do you not like that? Because you're not alone. There's a lot of people that, oh, it's a shame, and I hate PKs. Tell me why you don't like them.
Well, it's not that I don't like them, because I wasn't, at the same time, I wasn't like you to where I was on the edge of my seat, like, oh my God, is he going to stop this? Is he going to stop this? Like, because it's not because I didn't have any stake in the game either. It was just, there's no, like, intensity from what I watch. I know that if he stops this, then yeah, the game continues. But at the same time, it just feels like the game's like kind of not even being played anymore on the biggest stage of, you know, the Euro Cup. And I feel like if you would let them play in for a golden goal, like, all right, goalkeeper misses it and the guy scores a goal, and that's the game winning goal, instead of just going 1v1 up against each other. I just don't find that as entertaining.
See, I would disagree on the aspect that it's more entertaining to me.
Each shot you have on goal and like a golden goal,
I understand,
opportunity
that
is like.
But in soccer, it's different in hockey. From this aspect, I would say hockey is a lot more fast paced in a shorter amount, so you could get a couple of shots on goal, like 10 of them within a minute, right? I mean, it takes a little longer in soccer. It's a little harder, I would argue. Than hockey, I think, to score. Not that both aren't incredibly
difficult.
But you
get the best winner then. You get the, all right, who's the
Jordan,
battle of the fittest?
You're running hard. Okay, you've already played 2 extra periods.
Okay.
Plus extra time to end that game, coming out of a 45-minute half. You're gassed.
Create unlimited subs.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that maybe you could sub and do those other things. But I don't know how you can argue that it's not exciting to know finality is here, right? You get 5 kicks. Now, in the first game of the Gold Cup, you had, Honduras and I think it was Guatemala, whatever. that they 26 penalty kicks. But see, that's exciting to me. I mean, the first two go, okay, they got goals. One gets stopped, one's up. Like, you get five. You get five. And each one, as we get closer to five, it increases in intensity. It increases in excitement. You can literally see the players melting all for England. They overthought it. You can see start, run, stop, stop, stutter, stop. Like, to me, that's your, and I mean, it's one on one. It's a battle. I mean, can you stop that kick? Can you get that ball past that defender? All eyes on you. That is so much more exciting than hoping that a goal or a shot on goal comes. Jordan, games end in nil-nil. You can play literally 90-plus minutes and not score. Like, how long do you want them to keep running and playing? To me, it makes perfect sense to do penalty kicks.
If it was nil-nil or 1-1, I mean, getting that extra, like, that final goal would just, would be.
It's still a goal. You're still scoring. It's still the same players. No, it's not like you're subbing in some dude that hasn't played to come in and kick.
There's no defense. There's absolutely no. The only defense you have is the goalkeeper. He's basically, representing the team.
So
how is that? That's just not entertaining to me. I'd rather see the whole team play at the same time.
I'm a complete loss at this. How is that not entertaining? I don't understand. It's not entertaining to see one guy try to stop another guy a couple yards away. Have at it.
I'd just rather see the full strength of the team just go at it, and whoever scores first wins the game.
I understand what you're saying to an extent, but dude, that could be forever.
Okay, yeah, but once that goal happens, I feel like that's going to be way better than just a penalty shootout.
So one goal that takes forever is better than if five guys go at it at a time.
Yeah.
And if a goalkeeper stops it or not, if that guy get past it.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. Now, again, you're not alone, though. Just to me, that makes no sense. Like, give me finality. Show me right in front of me. Let's go. Go at it.
I just feel like we're watching a mini game happen. Like, all right, so now it's 0-0 and the game's